We're in our second week of the series, Have a Jesus-Filled Life. Listen, I'd love for you to consider getting connected to one of our Zoom small groups that happen during the weeks. They're using messages from Sundays as a launching point of discussion. And truly, I believe you can learn better from community discussion than just listening to a sermon. So I would love to ask you to consider connecting to a small group. You can contact Pastor Bob. You can use his email, bob@ncalife.org. And so would you consider that? Last week, our sub-thought to have a Jesus-filled life was be positive. This week, it is be grateful. Now, grateful might sound a little bit like be positive, but it's so much more. Now, the opposite of grateful would be what? You got it, ungrateful. And let me ask, have you ever met an ungrateful person? They tend to complain, grumble about things. In fact, I believe complaining can become a form of art for some people. And there might even be others who would argue that complaining is a spiritual gift. But I want to be clear with you today, complaining and being critical is not a spiritual gift from God. There are some people, of course, they'll look for anything to complain about. Now, we live in Michigan, and I cannot imagine anyone complaining about the weather we have here in Michigan. Can you? But if you do, or if you feel like you ought to complain about it, just be grateful we're not in Seattle, Washington, where it rains 150 days of the year, or central Arizona, where last week they were dealing with excessive heat. I have a daughter who lives in Florida, and what I hear from her is, it's hot. And I'm like, no kidding, you're in Florida. It really doesn't matter where you live. At some point, you're going to hear it's too hot, it's too cold, it's too dry, it's too wet, it's too humid. And those complaints, those are just about the weather. There are plenty of other things for people to complain about. Fast food is not fast enough. Does anyone out there ever complain about drivers on the road? Anyone complaining about having to wear a mask everywhere you go? And I wonder how many of us are guilty of this. We go to our closets, and after looking through shirts and pants and whatever you wear, we then say, what do we say? We say, I've got nothing to wear. It's amazing how blessed we can be and yet how ungrateful we are at times. Now, I want to think that I'm a grateful person, but in all honesty, I still struggle in my thinking to have a thankful attitude at all times. And that's why I want to pursue a heart of gratitude. I want to be a person who is grateful. I want to be grateful. Pastor James and Connie do something in their home that I want you to hear about. So would you listen to them?
Hey, thanks, Pastor Brooks. So when Connie and I first got married, we started doing this thing where we'd just ask each other, you know, what's something you're thankful for today? And just kind of talk about our day. But then it kind of slowly evolved into when one of us was discouraged or struggling, we'd encourage and challenge each other and say like, okay, well, give me something you can be thankful for right now. And it really just kind of helped us, you know, pull us out of that mindset and kind of shift our attitude.
Yeah, and it's really rooted in 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, which just says, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Yeah. And through that verse, we've just learned that thankfulness really is a choice, and it's not so much the power of positive thinking as it is choosing to remember what God has already done in your life and finding the hope in what God is going to do again. Time and time again, we see that Israel is forgetting what God has done in their lives. And we've just found that choosing to be thankful helps us to root our minds in the Lord.
Yeah, and so as Christians, we're called to be overflowing with thankfulness, right? The Bible says. And so we just want to encourage you guys and challenge you, you know, do that with your families. Just go around the room and just say, you know, what's some things we can be thankful for? And ultimately, we're just thankful that Jesus has saved us. So But hey, we miss you guys. We love you so much.
Can't wait to see you.
Yeah, I hope to see you soon.
Pastor James Akani, thank you for sharing that with us and challenging us to be thankful in our lives. Today, I want to look at a story from God's Word. It's found in Luke chapter 17, where we see a description of some leprous men who encounter Jesus and are healed. But then tragically, 9 out of these 10 lack a heart of gratitude. Here's the story of Luke 17, verse 11. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And I pray today you would have mercy on us. Help us to be thankful, grateful people. Teach us how to have that heart of gratitude. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me go back and read verses 12 and 13 again, just for setup. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." Now, when we read this, it would be easy for us just to move on and keep reading the rest of the story. But I want you to understand that from the depths of the heart of these men with leprosy, they were crying out for help, probably more than you or I could ever comprehend. And if I go back to the Old Testament in Leviticus chapter 13, it tells us that people with a skin disease in that day had to do certain things. Leprosy was a terrible skin disease back in the days of the Bible. And if it was determined that you had this, then you had to do these things. You had to tear your clothes so people could see from a distance that you had leprosy. They had to cover their mouth so they would not infect others. We're dealing with that with our mask right now. They were not allowed to keep their hair nice. In fact, the Bible says it had to be kept unkempt. They had to walk around with a bad hair day. Now, I have no idea what that was about, but I was thinking if those rules applied today with the coronavirus lockdown, and if I go out, I might be a little confused when I see somebody with ripped jeans and a mask on and having a bad hair day. And I know that I've seen that out there. And anybody else? But that's why there was one more thing that those with leprosy had to do. When they saw people, they had to cry out, "Unclean, unclean." I want you to think about it for a moment. A person with leprosy would have to deal with not only the problems that came along with having the skin disease, and I won't go into the gory details of that, but they also had to deal with the rejection of people. I can only imagine the devastation of not having closeness and affection with anybody else. I mean, not just for a few weeks, but for years, not having anyone ever give you a hug. And that was their life. And so when Jesus comes on the scene, hope rises within these men that perhaps he could heal them because of what they had heard about him. And so they call out in this loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." Listen to verse 14. When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. As they went, when they left, a miracle from heaven happened. All of them were cleansed from their leprosy. And the next verse, though, is really where the lesson begins. Verse 15. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. I just want to point out for a moment in regards to this man being a Samaritan. Samaritans and Jews did not get along. And I just want you to see the humility it took for this man to go back to Jesus, a Jew. But it was because he was full of gratitude. And he goes back to Jesus, and again, let me read it, verse 15 and 16. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. Let me go on and read in verse 17. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" 10 lives were miraculously changed and transformed and healed. 10 lives went from no hope to having a chance of having a normal life again. But only one out of the 10 came back to show his gratitude. I don't know about you today, but I want to commit before God that I want to be like the one. I want to show my gratefulness. I want to make sure that I am that one that has a heart of gratitude. And by the way, that heart of gratitude goes to Jesus today because I am a foreigner. He sent his grace to me, a Gentile, and I thank God for saving me and accepting me. And I say, thank you, Jesus. Today, I want to give you 3 statements that I believe will help you and I choose gratitude. The first statement is this. Number one, I know every good thing I have comes from God. Would you say that with me? I know every good thing I have comes from God. Church, every good thing we have comes from God Almighty. In fact, James 1:17 tells us this, every good and perfect gift is from where? Where does it come from? Read it with me. Gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. I wonder if we realize that all the gifts we have, all the abilities we have, all the talents we have are a gift from God. Church, we need to understand that every good thing we have, actually everything we have, comes from God. Now, you may be thinking, well, I worked hard to develop the talents I have or what I do have. And there may be some truth to that, but in reality, you are really just a steward of what God has given you. You succeed because God gave you the ability to do what you do. Deuteronomy 8:18, first part says, "But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth." You are here because God formed you and made you, and then he gave you life. He gave you gifts and abilities, and he desires to take all those things and use them for good. In fact, when we glance through scripture and we see people accomplishing things, it was always God who helped them accomplish the things they did. Think about Noah. God gave Noah the plan for the ark. The Israelites in the wilderness, he gave them manna from heaven every morning. God gave David not just the gift to be able to use a sling, but God made the stone that killed Goliath. God gave this young teenager girl named Mary the faith to say yes and to give birth to the Savior of the world. God gave the Magi a star to follow. And today, God has given us the Prince of Peace. He's given us Jesus, who is the Savior of the world. Not only that, God has given us his Holy Spirit to comfort us, to convict us, to guide us, and to counsel our lives. God has given us his Word to direct our lives and to teach us how to live. Church, every good thing we have comes from God. And we need to understand that God is completely good. In fact, God cannot be less than good. And everything God does and every gift he gives is good. And when we embrace that idea, that everything we have is a gift from God, it will change our attitude about what we have and what we can do. And instead of having maybe an attitude like the world, an attitude of entitlement, we can embrace an attitude of gratitude to God. Would you say this statement with me again? I know every good thing I have comes from God. Number two is, I believe, is this powerful statement. Here it is, number two. I will not let what I want rob me of what I have. Would you say that with me? I will not let what I want rob me of what I have. I don't know what it is in life that you may want or desire. Some want a better car, some want different homes, some want to travel, some want new clothes. And you can hear it from your kids all the time. I want this, I want that, and so on. But I want you to hear what Solomon tells us in Ecclesiastes 6:9. He says, enjoy what you have rather than desiring what you don't have. Just dreaming about nice things is meaningless, like chasing the wind. Think about it. He says, spend your time enjoying what you have rather than wasting your time thinking about the things you want. Church, is better to embrace what God has given you than to always wanting something more. What you have actually right now is better if you know how to enjoy it rather than longing for something else. And whenever we can adapt this attitude of gratitude, it will change our perspective. In fact, gratitude turns whatever we have into having enough. You probably need to hear that again. Gratitude turns whatever we have into having enough. As Solomon said, enjoy what you have rather than desiring what you don't have. Gratitude turns what we do have into a blessing. And that's why we have to say, I will not let what I want rob me of what I have. For a moment, take a moment and think about what you do have. Most likely, everyone listening today will have sufficient food for the day. You'll have a bed to sleep in this evening and clothes to wear throughout the day. In fact, I would go as far to say that most of you listening today have more than one pair of shoes. In fact, probably three or four or more. How many wear shoes, certain shoes to work or other shoes to church, or maybe even have house shoes? Or how many men and possibly some women have shoes that are dedicated for mowing your yard in? In fact, I have my yard mowing shoes right here. These are dedicated just for mowing the yard. I've set them aside, and that's what I mow my yard in. Church, we have more than enough shoes, more than enough stuff, especially when there's so many people in the world who only have maybe one pair of shoes or even one pair of something to wear. I could go on and on. We've got transportation, we have phones, we have TV, we have internet. In fact, at this point, those who have a job, you are blessed because there's many who are still out of work. Church, we are so blessed. But are we so grateful? I've had the opportunity of being in third world countries where I met people who had nothing. They lived in tin shacks and struggled, many of them, to find enough food for their family each day. But I can tell you this, many of them had Jesus as their Savior, and they were happy. They were so content, because they really had what they needed. They had Jesus as their Savior, and that was enough for them. It may seem like they had so little, yet they had so much love to give because of Jesus in their heart. And their gratitude to God turned what they had into enough. That's why we need to learn to say, I will not let what I want rob me of what I have. In fact, listen to Paul in Philippians chapter 4, verse 12. He says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. In verse 13, you're familiar with it. I can do all this through him, through Jesus Christ, who gives me strength. I can learn to be content through Jesus. Paul got to a place where Jesus Christ was all he had. And to be honest with you, until Christ is all that you have, you may not ever know that Christ is all you need. Can I repeat that? Until Christ is all that you have, you may not ever know that Christ is all you need. What if we could get to that place and learn to be so grateful? Whether we have a lot or a little, we just know that Jesus is our Savior, and that's all that matters. Jesus is the one who satisfies. He is all we need. And that's why we'll be able to say things like this. I know every good thing I have comes from God, and I will not let what I want rob me of what I have. The last statement for today is this, number three. Say it with me. Ready? I will turn every blessing I have into praise. We have to learn how to turn every blessing that God has given us back into an act of worship to him. And I'm going to tell you why we need to learn to do this, because every time we do not turn a blessing into praise, it will turn into pride. Did you hear that? Every time we do not turn a blessing into praise, it will turn into pride. It will be, I did that, I earned that, I created that. And eventually you hear things like, I deserve it all because of what I've done. And pride slips in. Churches, the people of God, we cannot let that happen in our lives. Our praise belongs to God. Psalm 66 declares this, shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name, make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. Church, we've got to learn to turn our blessings into praise. Church, say this with me. I will turn every blessing I have into praise. I wonder, how many of you have ever lost something and then you found it? Do you remember that moment, how thankful you were? There have been a few moments where Tammy and I, who have six children, have misplaced a kid or two throughout the years of them growing up. And sadly, we've done it more than once. But that feeling of not being able to find them or locate them caused panic to rise. But when we found them, nothing else mattered. We were just ecstatic to have them safe and sound again. And all we could do is thank God and bless God and be grateful that they were safe. Let me tell you, if you have children, be thankful to him that you have a messy house because of your kids. Give thanks for him. Whatever your situation is, do not lose sight of blessing God. Learn to be grateful. Church, I will turn every blessing I have into praise. Listen to David in Psalm 100, verse 3. He says, know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. And then David in Psalm 103, verse 1 to 5 says, "Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits." So listen to this. "Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Church, what does God do? God fills our life with good things. He heals us, he forgives us, he crowns us. Oh, church, we need to learn to be grateful. Number one, I know every good thing I have comes from God. Number two, I will not let what I want rob me of what I have. And three, I will turn every blessing I have into praise. Church, let's choose to have a Jesus-filled life and live a life of gratitude. Could I pray for you? Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the people right now who are saying, "Yes, I want a heart of gratitude." God, we help us really to see the enormous blessings that you have given us. Help us then to turn every blessing back to praise you, for you are good. Lord, our Zoom groups that will meet this week, I pray you would give them an overwhelming gratitude as they share your goodness. We, the people of God, we lift up your name, for you've given us far more than we could have ever earned, and certainly more than we ever deserved. God, help us to see your goodness and to give you praise for every good thing in our life. And I ask this in the mighty name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. If you're listening today and you've not accepted Jesus as your Savior, you can put your faith in him today. It's not that we deserve the salvation that God offers, but he offers it because of his grace and his love. And he wants to restore his relationship with you. There's no way we can be made right with God by our own works. But we're made right with God because we put faith in his Son, Jesus, and we receive his grace. You see, God did something incredible for us that we could never do for ourselves. He sent Jesus, his only Son, who was without sin, but he went to the cross for you and I so we could be forgiven of our sins. And then he was raised from the dead so that anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord would be saved. And when you accept his love and his grace and put your faith in him, then you can live with extreme gratitude for what he has done for you. Today, I want to ask you, simply put your trust in him. Give him your life. And maybe today you can pray this with me. Say, "Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sin. Make me brand new. I believe Jesus died for me and he rose again. Fill me with your spirit so I can know you and serve you and follow you. I worship you. Thank you for my new life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen." I want to welcome you, if you prayed that, into God's family today. We celebrate with you. And I want us to take a moment. I'm going to slip over to the piano, and I want us to take a moment and just give our gratitude to God today, because he is so good. You say thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me creation so rich and free. Would you sing it one more time? Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. Be grateful, people. Trust in the Lord at all times and give him your praise and your thanks. Amen. And then we'll live that Jesus-filled life. God bless you. Have a great day.